this term before, but I had never I'd never encountered it. Do you know what a linchpin is? Anyone? Linchpins? Christy knows? Couple? Pat and Will know? All right. Rick knows? Say what? Lynch. That is a different thing. A linchpin is a much more positive and not a terrible thing. A linchpin is this. This was a something put together. This is a photo of a linchpin. And this little thing right in the middle is the linchpin. It holds the wheel on. It literally keeps the wagon wheel together. They used it back in the old days. You had the wheel on the inside of the axle, and you put the linchpin in the outside, literally keeping the wheels from coming off the wagon. That's where that phrase comes from. I didn't know. But it literally keeps the wheels from coming off. I want us to keep that in mind as we explore a little bit deeper into the sermon and into our text today. For the next few weeks, you might have guessed it from that sermon video intro, we are going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians is this book in the New Testament. It's what's known as an epistle. The apostles wrote the epistles. That's what happened. The apostles wrote the epistles. I don't know what the early church fascination with the STLE was. Isn't that, for our Wheel of Fortune fans, isn't that the letters you get for the last round and you have to add some others on? I feel like that's the case. Jim says yes. That's good enough for me. I don't know what the fascination with STLE, like the fools, I don't know what the fascination was with that. But anyways, the apostles wrote these letters to churches called the epistles. And what the epistles are, they're just that. They're letters, and this letter, 1 Corinthians, was written to the church in Corinth. And the church in Corinth, if you have read through the 1 and 2 Corinthians, you know the church in Corinth had a couple of issues. It had some problems with it. And I hope, it is for me, but I hope it is for you too, that is good news. It's good news that this group of early Christ followers, the early church that we often here in America, we idolize the early church. We say, yes, the early church, that's how we want to live, and we should. But they had issues too. They had problems, and they messed up, because we all do. As Christians, which is Jesus followers, all of us recognize that we have not fully arrived. There are still places where we make mistakes, still places where we mess up. And oftentimes, when we make mistakes in our lives and mess up, it hurts the people closest to us. And for many Christians, it is a group like this, the church, that gets hurt, because the church is close together. That's how it should be. Even if we don't like that part about sometimes our relationships can grind or hurt against each other. But the early church dealt with all kinds of issues, especially the church in Corinth. The early church dealt with issues like wealthy people would have communion feast. It wasn't just, you know, the bread and the cup. It was a communion feast, a whole meal. And the wealthy people who didn't have to work would get there early and eat everything. And then the people coming in from their 9-to-5s would get there, and there'd be like couple of pieces of mashed potatoes or something left. That was about it. That was a problem that they had to work out and that Paul helped them navigate. There were people that stood up and yelled liar or yelled just rah in the middle of service. I've only heard of that happening one time. That was actually by a family member, somebody yelling liar in the middle of service. It was warranted. I don't recommend that if you can get around it, but people were disrupting worship services. That was something that Paul helped the early church address. And Paul writes these letters to both help people navigate issues, but also to encourage the early church. And that's where we get to today's text. So if you've got a Bible with you, I'll put it up on the screen, but if you've got a Bible, a phone handy, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be in verses 10 through 17. So let's get over there. I need to get my Bible out. Jeremy, I'll let you navigate for our friends on screen. But 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Jesus. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I Paul crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius. For now no one can say they were baptized in my name. Oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing anybody else. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. Things in the church of Corinth, there was tension there. Things weren't going especially easily. There were people claiming to follow one person after another. You know, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. Well, I follow just Jesus. I think there are some interesting lessons for us, the church today, to learn, because these lessons, the things that Paul wrote for the church in Corinth, are helpful for us too. First off, I just want to make a comment. I think this is the power of celebrity at work. There we go, celebrity. I think this is what we're seeing in this text in the church in Corinth. You know, I follow this famous person. That's what the people were saying. Famous maybe amongst our circle, but still, I follow this famous person. Caitlin actually, my wife Caitlin, she is in a master's program, and she actually did a presentation using this image on the influence, the power, maybe even some would say the religion of celebrity in our world. So if you ever want to talk more about the influence of celebrity, Caitlin is an expert. She's done a couple of projects on that. But what is being implied here? The person who's saying, well, I follow Paul, is saying, hey, I follow this guy, so you should treat me like that. I think all the same things that this person does, so you should respect me like you respect them. That I have some sort of piece of them that's connected to me. I think sometimes we modern Christians, we can do this too. Now maybe we don't do it with movie stars like this, but I want to ask you, have you ever heard somebody say this? Well, I follow John Piper, or I follow Stephen Furtick. I follow this person. Even for me personally, I've got a couple of pastors that I enjoy watching. I like watching a guy named Bruxy Cavies, this Canadian fellow, and he is both hilarious and very, very helpful and smart. Elevating pastors or anyone up too high to the point of celebrity it's not helpful for anybody, the people being elevated included, because we're people. Pastors are human beings too, and pastors make mistakes. It would make me very sad if people had if people would place faith in me instead of me doing what I'm supposed to be doing, which is pointing people to Jesus. Now, I want to say, don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in Pastor Susan or any pastor that you might encounter. We as pastors are supposed to be helping people follow Jesus. That is the purpose of my role, of pastors' roles, of Christians in general. Now, that's not saying, you know, pastors can do whatever they want. No, I'm going to try and live a trustworthy life so that we never have to have a conversation about me not living well. And I do want to tell you, if you see something, whether it's in my life or Pastor Susan's life, that doesn't look Christ-like, I want to encourage you to come talk to me, come talk to her. If you don't feel comfortable, our elder board, I'm trying to track a couple of other elder board members, talk to them, because that's something we want to address. Having those conversations is far better than not having those conversations. But don't follow pastors. Follow. It is good to learn from. It is good to listen to people that are walking closely with Jesus. That's a good and helpful thing. Everyone that is walking closely with Jesus should be pointing people to Jesus and not themselves. Pastors are meant to help us all move closer to Jesus. And we're no replacement for the real thing, which is Jesus. And we're no replacement for each and every one of us following Jesus in our own lives. Pastors are meant to help us along there. So that's the first thing. Second thing, the point of Paul writing to the church in Corinth, one of the other things here, is to help them and help us understand one of the basic truths of being Christ followers. And that is, we are supposed to be united together. And looking back on that text from 21st century America, that seems like a fairy tale, right? It seems like, man, people were supposed to be united. That is the impossible done only by the power of Christ. Because I don't know about you, but I'm thinking back to trying to put together dinner plans, right? Even before the pandemic, did you ever try and host a dinner? And how hard it was to get everybody's schedules to align? I can't eat with you on Thursday or Friday for dinner, but 9 a.m. Saturday morning, we can do something as long as you come out to my ultimate frisbee league. It felt like that difficult getting things together for just a normal dinner to unite people around food, the thing that we all need. Getting people united sometimes feels a bit like it can feel like a pipe dream. It can feel like the impossible, but it is our ambition as Christ followers to be united. There are sometimes barriers to unity that we see in our lives, and often it can sometimes come from us. Paul writes about this later. We'll be exploring this topic throughout this series, but judgment is something that Paul often is very critical of. Paul doesn't say, you know, ignore everything. Far from that. But Paul frequently reminds the church to make sure that you're not judging someone poorly, that you're seeing the worth in somebody else. And far too often we judge other people for things that don't matter as much as we might think they do. And I'm guilty of this too. We can even judge other churches. You know, their church, they're like a rock concert in their worship. Or their pastor, they pray from a piece of paper. You know, why would you pray from a piece of paper? Or their church, they go through one book of the Bible every year, and that's all they go into, and that's it. That's all they preach on and talk through. And I have thoughts about each and every one of those subjects. I like how our church does things. I do. I like how our church does things, but that doesn't mean we should shun other people for doing things differently. Shun other churches. If you have not been gathered with us before, we're a part of what's known as the Mennonite Brethren denomination. That's the denomination of our church. And that just means there's a bunch of other churches that we get together with, that we share efforts for missionaries and sending missionaries out into the field and a few other things. And we've got theological beliefs like everyone else. But the Mennonite Brethren, Cornerstone Community Church, is not the Savior of the world. We know that that is Jesus and Jesus alone. And so the things that sometimes divide us from other churches, other people of faith, other communities, aren't as important as, hey, are you following Jesus? Are you connecting with our Lord? Now, if that other church, you know, that other group or whatever it is says, you know, we don't actually believe that Jesus is Lord. He was just this smart guy who had a couple of things figured out. But we don't believe he rose from the dead. Or if there's somebody who says, you know, we believe that our God-given responsibility is yelling really loudly at people. When you're with a neighbor and you disagree, yell really loudly at them. And that's the right thing to do. Like being centered around those things, that I don't even think that's a church. And so we don't want to connect with communities that aren't centralized around Jesus, but Jesus is what unites the church. It's not Apollos, it's not Paul, it's not Peter, it is Jesus that unites the church. Jesus is the reason that millions, maybe even billions of people gather around and connect together and worship with each other on a day like today so that they can learn how to follow Jesus even better. The Apostle Paul says this in the first part that we read, 1 Corinthians 1, 10b. He says, rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. And the question for us is, our thoughts are supposed to be centered on Christ, are they? Are our thoughts centered on Christ? Are we loyal to Christ, following after Jesus? Anything that is not helpful to that goal is supposed to be put aside. I don't know if you know it, if you've connected with us for a while, you may have seen this before, but our motto is connect to God, to others, and to your mission. That's our church motto. This is kind of the central organizing thing that we as a church are about. Connect to God, learn how to worship Him, connect to others, fellowship with each other, engage with fellow Christians, engage with non-Christians as well. And then connect to your mission. Find your mission, what God has for you to do. With this motto of connect to God, to others, and to your mission in mind, I just want to ask a question specifically for those of us at Cornerstone. You may be somebody who is maybe not connecting too much yet, or maybe you're interested but just not quite sure. Maybe you've been gathered with us online and you are from the far and distant reaches of Oklahoma. We've got a couple of people from Oklahoma that watch us pretty frequently. California too, believe it or not. But whether you are connected with us online, wherever you're at, first off, you are always welcome to be a part of our community. But for those of us that call this place our home, that this is our church, this is our family of believers we are a part of, who can sign on to this motto, connect to God, to others, and to your mission, I think this text asks us a question. Are you of one mind, united in thought and purpose? That's what Paul is asking. That's what Paul is setting out as the goal. Be united of one mind, united in thought and purpose. And it might feel like the answer is no. Sometimes it feels that way. That is reality. I'll just talk about one small part of life that, you know, we've all been navigating the last year is COVID stuff. COVID precautions. I've had many conversations with many of you over the last year about what we can, should be doing, what's smart to do, all these things. And if you know our church well, you know that there are some people of us that are very cautious, and there are some of us that are less concerned about the pandemic. It hasn't altered our lives very much. We've got people on both sides of that spectrum connected to our church. And that, in this one area, it might seem like we are really not united in that. That we don't have the same thoughts. But in those conversations that I've had with a lot of you, I think I've actually drilled down to a point where there is some unity that I am seeing that might not be as obvious on the purpose or on the surface. Our friends that are less concerned about COVID, that it hasn't impacted their lives as much. When I talk to our friends that are less concerned about COVID, they tell me that they don't want this to prevent them from living life because they're convinced Jesus has stuff for them to do. And they don't want to be prevented from living their life because they're trying to do things for Jesus. That's what I have heard from our friends that are a little bit less concerned about this pandemic. Our friends that are more concerned, that are much more cautious, of which I'll fully admit, I am one. My connection with Caitlin, it makes me quite a bit more cautious because I don't want to bring something to her who is a little bit on the vulnerable side. But those of us that are more cautious, from the conversations I've had with people in that category, they say I'm more cautious because I want to be a good example. I want to make sure I am not contributing to the spread of this virus in our community. I want to care for our community because I love Jesus, because I'm following Jesus. Even in this radically divisive and complicated issue about what precautions you're taking with COVID, I still think I see that our church is united in purpose. Because what we're trying to do is follow Jesus well. And maybe we have different thoughts on how we're doing that, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, and that can lead us into conflict at times too. But our goal, from both groups that I have talked to, the conversations that I've been having, our goal is we're trying to live like Jesus wants us to. We're united in our purpose. In order to live well, in order to follow Jesus well and wisely, to learn from this group of people in Corinth, this church that Paul was writing to, I think this text reminds us of one thing that we always need to keep central. It's Jesus. Are you focused on Jesus? Are you living out the Jesus way in your life here at church? Absolutely. Are you living out the Jesus way in your personal life? In your life when you are connecting to others outside the church? Are you living for Jesus there? Are you focused on following Christ? Are you connecting to God, to others, and to your mission? I really liked our sermon series video that Danny put up for us here. I'll just put the title screen up again. But this blue wheel in the middle, I really appreciate it because you saw before things weren't working, and that blue wheel came, and everything started functioning as it was supposed to, right? Things started working well. Things started working the way they were supposed to. That is what happens when Jesus is at the center of it all. When Jesus is who we are focused on, Jesus is our linchpin. He's the thing that keeps the wheels from coming off. He's what unites us together, and he's who our church revolves around. Without Jesus, we have nothing. But like we celebrated last week, like Greg and the worship team led us in, our Jesus is not dead. He is alive. He lives. So, for us as Christ followers, don't be divided into factions. Don't follow John Piper or Stephen Furtick or even Ben Friesen. Follow Jesus. Be united around Jesus, united in purpose, and united in connecting to God, to others, and to the mission God has for each and every one of us. Let's pray and let's ask God for us, for God for us to be overwhelmed with that and for God to move in us. God Almighty, we come before you and we want to ask and pray that you would help us be united. We know that sometimes being united in these polarized times is difficult. Even on simple things like getting together and getting food, it's hard to unite people to do even those simple things. And God, we know it is almost impossible to be united in thought and purpose. But God, we ask you, help us be united. Help us to see how people in our lives, people in our congregation are united in following you. Even if we don't connect well with how people are pursuing their relationship with you, God, we trust and we pray that all of us, every single one of us, gathered here, gathered online, we are united around you and you alone. God, we pray as we explore further into this book of 1 Corinthians, as you help us navigate what the church should be, how the church should look like, how we're to serve and follow you well. We ask and we pray that you would help us be united, that you would help us connect, Lord, to you, that you'd help us connect to others, and God, that you would help each and every one of us connect to the mission that you have for us in our world. We ask and we pray this all in Jesus' mighty, powerful, and wonderful name. We pray, amen. Friends, go united in the purpose that God has for each and every one of you. Go connecting to God, to others, and to your mission. Go in peace. Blessings to you.